On the other hand, the Abbasids did create conditions that encouraged proselytizing, or at least conversion. The construction of Baghdad and the great cities along the Tigris River were one. It became quite clear in the Abbasid era that to feed those huge courts, it was necessary to develop very extensive long-distance trade connections. This is particularly so in the 9th and early 10th century, where there's a vast output of Abbasid coinage. Their coins travel across the Eurasian landmass. And this was because all sorts of commodities, slaves, exotic commodities, building material, silks from China, were all being brought into these centers. By 900, Baghdad was at least a million strong. Byzantine envoys coming to the city were stunned. And regarded Baghdad as even greater in size and opulence than their own city, Constantinople. And that is high praise indeed, because the Byzantines are not inclined to make such a concession. And that fact alone meant that the Abbasid Caliphate was successful, and those engaged in trade and commerce, contracts, found it increasingly to their advantage to convert to Islam. That would put them under the protection of the Quran and Islamic law. That would also give them the protection of the great authority of the Abbasid Caliph when these merchants left the frontiers of the Abbasid Empire, that has traveled into Central Asia or other wild places looking for these various goods. So in the terms of the merchant and civic elites in cities across the Islamic Empire, there was a steady conversion over to Islam. In addition, while the Christian communities and the Jewish communities were protected, and in Eastern Islam, the Zoroastrian communities, there were decided advantages. You were freed from a head tax. If you were non-Muslim, you paid a head tax for the price of your faith. Various civil disabilities. No non-Muslim could ride a horse or learn the use of arms. Those so inclined recruited themselves into Muslim armies, eventually converted. Now, that doesn't mean that there was a vast exodus of Christians and Jews into the new faith of Islam, but there was a steady process of conversion that took place across the Islamic world from the 9th through the 11th century. And this process was still in progress when the Crusaders showed up. Now, the Abbasids, in many ways immensely successful, also proved to fail to establish a successful regime. And the Abbasid dynasty didn't so much fall as their empire began to fragment in the 9th century. Ironically, it fragmented at a time where, in many ways, the cultural and economic achievements had reached a new high order. There are several reasons for this, not the least going back to that initial split in Islam that pitted Sunni, that is, the Orthodox, the ones who followed the right way. Those are the followers of Muawiyah, the Abbasids, who went with this line of caliphs, and the Shiite and the Aliyids, those who felt that somewhere along the line, the leadership in Islam went wrong, that Ali was supposed to be the proper successor, and that Ali's descendants should be treated as the imams, that is, the teachers, or in Persian, the Mahdi, who would lead Islam in a pure and rightly guided way. The Abbasids had started their revolution against the Umayyad caliphs under the banner of the Shiite and Aliyid sectarians. But once they took power, they had jettisoned that group and had liquidated them just as ruthlessly as they had liquidated the Umayyad and took power in their own name. So these groups continued to remain in opposition. And if anything, they flourished. The development of cities and trade connections allowed Shiite and Aliyid groups to set up cells in cities across the Islamic world. These sectarian groups also became quite popular among non-Arab populations, particularly in the fringes. They gained great successes in converting Berbers in Morocco and various tribal groups in the Yemen.